Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now a call in on that question. Does growing up in a big city prepare you better for life? Our lines are already full, just from that little tease for this segment between Chris and me, at 212-433-WNYC. So start the conversation going on our webpage for this at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, our usual place. And, of course, you can call in when other people finish up. Why are we doing this? Well, it's to follow up on something that came out briefly last week between New York Times urban affairs correspondent Sam Roberts and me. We were talking about the new census figures, which show that there are fewer kids under 5 years old living in the city overall. And in discussing what goes into the decision about where to raise kids, Sam Roberts said this, and you'll hear my response.
Another reason to live in Manhattan, and obviously their trade-offs are to live in the city, is the diversity. I mean, you are much better prepared for being in the real world growing up in a city like New York.
Absolutely right. We were short on time in that interview, so we couldn't delve deeper into this then. And the fact that I kind of casually threw off an absolutely right led to some response. And I know it's not self-evident that growing up in a diverse city better prepares you for life. I know people disagree with that often. So, and we know Chris Bannon does. So right now, call us up and tell us what you think. Do you think growing up in a big diverse city better prepares you for life in any particular way? Do you think being exposed to lots of people with diverse backgrounds, because that was the particular reference there, was the diversity of the city, gave you a leg up in some way as an adult? People who grew up in the suburbs or in rural areas, do you think that it doesn't prepare you better? When you see native New Yorkers who can't drive, can't change a tire, who don't know what to do with squirrels in the attic, never mind building a fire or being able to tell the difference between poisonous and non-poisonous mushrooms, maybe you thank your lucky stars you didn't grow up here in terms of how it prepares you for adulthood. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Let's see what some of you think about this. April in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi.
Where'd you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Harlem during the 1980s, and I felt that I was at a great disadvantage for that reason. So when my daughter got to be at kindergarten age, I moved her down to Florida to get her out of this kind of drug culture. And then we moved back to the city, and I moved her back later for junior high school to Fairfax County, Virginia. And, I mean, the concern was...
You are one dedicated mom, I'll tell you that. Moving states two or three times for the benefit of your child.
Because I was concerned about her being consumed by the drug culture like I was at that age, and I felt that perhaps this is all preventable. So I moved her out, but what I ended up finding was she just kind of like got caught up, and she went from, I say, I don't want to use this term, kind of ghetto to emo, but I had a whole other dynamic problem in the suburbs that I couldn't even imagine. Meanwhile, her contemporaries from Harlem and Brooklyn, I came to find, turned out much better in terms of being self-starters, independent, and they just had more drive.
Fascinating story. Thank you very much.
Thank
Matt,
you.
In Erie County in upstate New York, home of New York 26, where that big congressional election is taking place tomorrow.
Yes, how are you doing?
Good, Matt. Thanks for calling. Where'd you grow up?
Well, my parents are from the New York City area. I was raised in Buffalo and I moved to New York City after grad school. Spent about 10 years there in the wine industry. And I found that the difference in general, I think that the diversity is huge. My wife is from France, who I met there, and we moved upstate about a year ago. And the diversity is unparalleled. That's the greatest asset in New York. But I found that my character had changed, and you wind up being more concerned with keeping up with the Joneses in a place like New York City than you do in a place like Buffalo. So I felt that personal character was affected.
Which is better in the long run, do you think?
I think it's tough to say. We right now struggle with what we're going to do educating our kids. And we would have more options in New York City, and just the exposure to the diversity is huge. But I personally think that travel plays a huge role, and we will do our best to educate our kids through those other methods. Mm-hmm.
What is it about diversity? When you invoke diversity as a plus, I mean, I know we like to think that that's a given, but is it just for the sake of being aware of diversity because that's like a good work, good deed mindset, or does it actually prepare your kids for something?
Personally, I think that nowadays it's such a global world, more so than ever. I think that the knowing about other cultures and backgrounds is huge. It gives kids a better perspective, more scope. When you grow up in a one-dimensional environment, you think, I grew up in Buffalo, and it's Irish, Italian, Polish, and you don't see a lot else. So to have the diversity of ethnic backgrounds opens your eyes to a whole new world, and it makes kids interested in wanting to travel to places like
Matt. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. By the way, our first caller mentioned the phrase ghetto to emo. And for those of you who don't know, according to Wikipedia, emo is a style of rock music typically characterized by melodic musicianship and expressive, often confessional lyrics. It originated in the 1980s hardcore punk movement of Washington, D.C., where it was known as emotional hardcore or emo core, and pioneered by bands such as Rites of Spring and Embraced, echoed by contemporary American punk rock bands, and is often seen as a popular style in the suburbs. So there you go. That's emo. Susan in Glenhead, you're on WNYC. Hey, Susan, where'd you grow up?
Hi, Brian. I grew up in Cambria Heights, Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And loved it. And I agree with all of those who are reporting that city life does well prepare young folks, people in general, for better understanding of the world. Just comparing it to my own two kids who grew up in Glenhead, my one daughter, Sarah, when she traveled into the city, so much I had to remind her to do, how to behave, how to watch her handbag, things to do, that I, as a young person, learned at a very early age. I'd say about 11, going to Jamaica to get medication for my grandmother on the bus. And also talk about buses, the bus system. To this day, I often have no fear and my daughter thinks it's terrible, you're getting on the bus. I said, Sarah, you grew up in Queens, that's what you do. I didn't have a license till I was 18 and enjoyed it. And diversity, wonderful.
And there are parents, including myself, who think that it's actually more dangerous to have a teenager, a 16 to 18-year-old, in the suburbs than it is in the city, because you're more likely to get killed in a teenage car accident
where the teenagers
actually drive themselves everywhere than you are, coming home on the subway.
Exactly, exactly. My daughter Sarah has had two friends that have been killed in Glen Cove.
Groups
of friends. It's scary, but the whole mentality and growing up with this dive, I went to school, I went to art and design in Manhattan and then on to Pratt Institute in Brooklyn. And when I look back, I'm 57, what a diverse life, what wonderful people I've met, within the city. And for Mr. Bloomberg, I've got to tell him, growing up in the city with that wonderful education system through the 60s, 70s, graduated in 76 from Pratt. I've got to thank New York City.
Susan, thank you very much. There's a classic city kid, right? Grew up in the New York City public schools and became an artist. Went to art and design, became an artist. So Simon in Brooklyn has a whole other story, don't you, Simon?
I do. I mean, slightly. I mean, I live in Brooklyn, and I'm glad to live in New York, but obviously by the sound of my voice, I'm an immigrant.
Uh-huh.
I believe in all the things that have been mentioned. I mean, it's definitely a plus being a multifaceted world, and it's definitely a plus getting all of the exposure to diversity. But I've lived in five other cities in the world, and I come from the countryside, and I definitely think that the intuitive sense of your environment that coming from the countryside gives you it's a real loss living in the city. I think that being in the city is all about having and, being a consumer. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that is in the world right now.
Interesting. When city people talk about being in tune with the environment. They're probably talking about recycling bottles.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
And your connection to the environment was a whole other thing, right?
Yeah, very much. I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm not 25, so I come from, I'm not a sort of a graduate student. I'm a slightly different generation, but, you know, having less, I guess, was a little bigger thing then. But I think the city, you know, cities, they've obviously given us great things, you know, lots of progress and convergence of ideas. But I think right now it's about having, you know, you're participating as a consumer. And that's, you know, that's the biggest aspect of life in city. And I think that for the world, that's a negative, you know.
Thank you very much, Simon. And we have a few minutes left for your calls and comments on the question, which prepares you better for life, something that came up on the show recently, and we're diving a little deeper here in a follow-up segment. Growing up in the city or growing up not in the city, 212-433-WNYC, or post your comment on our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Jean on our comments page wrote, Manhattan is by all accounts less diverse than in the past, and the suburbs are increasingly diverse. My kids grew up in a small town where they went to school with and got to know all kinds of people. Great preparation for 21st century life. Come to Ossining. So, hey, maybe in this diverse world, the distinction between growing up with diversity in the city that inspired this segment and growing up without diversity outside the city is increasingly a false one anyway. Tony in Suffolk County, you're on WNYC. Hi there, Tony.
You know, I had the privilege of growing up in both areas. Weekdays, I was on Long Island and right on the cusp of a farm. And then weekends, I spent in the city working in my grandfather's store and hanging out with my aunts and uncles who were just a little older than I. And I would say that it has nothing to do with city or suburb. I think it has to do with the experience level. The last call talked about, or the call before last talked about living in the city and how it's a consumer situation. Well, it's really not if you're not coming from the Upper East Side or the Upper West Side. If you're coming from Harlem or you're coming from the outer boroughs, it's about working and it's about trying to strive and get someplace. If you're coming from Long Island, back when I was here, when it was all farmland, where I'm standing right now, it actually was a farm I used to come to. You know, it's now an office building. It was all about learning the trade of farming, learning the learning how to survive, treating your land, keeping things up, learning how to build. And the fact of the matter is what I think made my growing up special was the fact that my parents and the other adults around me allowed me to be an adult at a young age. And it didn't mean driving necessarily. It didn't mean drugging. It meant working. It meant being around other adults. And those are the things I think are important.
Right. That's fascinating. And the combination, it sounds like, served you well.
It did.
Tony, thank you very much. And you know, to Tony's point, it is certain, or one of Tony's points, it certainly is possible to grow up in the city and be white and upper middle class and sheltered from diversity. You know, if you spend your time on certain blocks, hang in certain circles, go to certain schools, the diversity may be around you kind of in the abstract when you ride the subways, but you're not intimately engaged with people who are so different from yourself. So there's diversity and non-diversity, even growing up in the city. Let's see. On our Facebook page, Angelica writes, I grew up in Brooklyn and now live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I think the children lead a much higher quality of life that is affordable for middle-class families. However, I think there is a certain savoir-faire acquired by osmosis if you live in a large urban environment. I try to mitigate this by taking my 8-year-old to New York City, Philadelphia, D.C., and Baltimore on a regular basis. Aaron, I grew up in a small, mostly white town in California. I'm African-American. Although I enjoyed freedom and safety as a kid, I was wholly unprepared for social life on a diverse college campus, and as a result, did not get as much out of that time as I could have. Efe in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for making it.
I'm 60-ish, and I grew up, I was born in Harlem and raised in Brooklyn. I like Tony's comment and a few of the others because they talk about diversity by mentioning class. And while your other point about, you know, middle class people who then might have sheltered their kids mm-hmm. from diversity is a point. It's also a point. I grew up in Bed-Stuy, and my experience with that prepared me was basically because my mother was welfare, so it was parochial school, Catholic school. Then I wound up at Dartmouth, and I wanted to introduce another word. Before diversity, there was something called being cosmopolitan. And at Dartmouth, those of us who were Native Americans or African Americans in the 60s, we were there in part because the parents of these affluent Dartmouth kids, they wanted their children to be cosmopolitan. They understood that it was going to be a global world.
That's so interesting because Dartmouth is in the middle of nowhere.
It certainly is, but in the 60s with, you know, the Panthers and all that, they always took 10%. They took 10% of African-Americans and Native Americans and other ethnicities. But I remember the experience of, in many of my philosophy or whatever classes, they wanted to know about us, about other ethnicities, for the benefit of being cosmopolitan. Now, it benefited me, too. I've since lived in other countries, Africa, you know, whatever state. Mm-hmm. I know now that what we need is balance between rural and urban. There is something about going to the Poconos and taking a hike through the Adirondacks, or, you know, there's balance. And diversity now in New York, or in Brooklyn, where I live now, is much richer. In my neighborhood, there are Pakistanis, there are Bangladeshis.
Sure, in this city.
Four blocks down, and they're Spanish.
Right,
you know,
40% foreign-born. It's certainly not about just black and white anymore. Ife, I'm going to move on. Thank you so much for a wonderful call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
And we're going to give Lisa in Bloomfield the last word. And, Lisa, we have about 40 seconds for you. Hi there.
Hello. I just wanted to say that I think that by saying that when we live in a diverse society, when we live in a city, we're more well-informed and prepared to be adults is a little bit naive, because I think that people who live in cities often don't understand the rest of their country. They're often baffled when certain political choices are made in the larger United States of America. So what people in the city miss is the opposite, yes, mm-hmm. of what people in rural communities miss. So really it is about that balance, about your parents bringing you into the city to experience the culture, to see the ways that other people live, and vice versa.
Lisa, thank you very much. Another great comment. And we will give the final word to Carolita on our comments page, who writes, in answer to the question, which prepares you better for adulthood, growing up in the city, growing up elsewhere? Nothing prepares you for adulthood. Thanks, Carolita. Thanks for all your great calls. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.